Well, I heard a story. There was a young person who was talking to the Lord, praying to God, and he had a conversation with the Lord. And so here's the dialogue that took place. Jamie says, "God, how long is a million years to you?" God answers, "My child, it's but a second. A million years is but a second to me." Jamie said, "God, how much is $1 million to you?" The Lord said, "It's but a penny to me, my child." Jamie said, "God, can I have a penny?" God said, "Yes, my child, just give me a second." Oh, well, praise God. It feels like that sometimes. It does, yeah. He wasted the last second a lot of times, but anyway, praise God. In a blink of an eye. Just give me a second. Praise God. But anyway, yeah, my message is going to be a second or two. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I always try. Thank you very much. Like that. Anyway. Hey, man, I'm going to continue to talk today about a message we started a while back. I've been camping around this message for about 3 or 4 months now. I actually think it goes down back to about January when I taught about having the benefits of a strong spirit. But the Lord led me into this message, and I've been on it for months now, and I can't seem to shake it. And it's the message about casting our cares to the Lord and dwelling in the perfect peace of God. And that's what the message is about, and I haven't been able to shake that message. Maybe it's possibly that I haven't quite gotten it yet. And by extension, it may be that you haven't quite gotten it yet either, praise God. I'm just saying. Just a thought. Amen. It's an amazing message. So simple, yet so life-changing. And I'm going to talk about some stuff I haven't talked about before about this message. In any case, we're just going to move on a little bit. So what is the message? It is, and I'm going to refresh this, it is the message that we can cast our cares, our worries, our fears, our burdens, our problems upon the Lord through prayer, and then we can live our lives free from worry and anxiety and in God's perfect peace. You know, I've discovered recently a lot of the old hymns talk about this. You know, a lot of the old hymns we used to sing in the Baptist church. Let's see what some examples. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, to take everything to Him in prayer. Remember that one? I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. In other words, I give up my efforts, Lord, and I put my trust in You. I'm surrendering. You know, leaning on the everlasting arms. We sang it last week, I think it was. You know, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on the everlasting arms. It's from that scripture that says the eternal God is our refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. It gives a picture of somebody reclining in God's arms. That's a beautiful scripture and it's a beautiful song. But anyway, I could go on and on about the old songs that bring this truth out, and yet it's still new, it's still fresh. It's not a new revelation. Men have seen it and sung about it for centuries. But what an amazing truth. It almost sounds too good to be true. You sure that's true, brother? I'm not sure about that. I just don't know if that's true or not. It's what people say to you. Many Christians, millions of Christians, don't believe it's possible. But last time we used scripture after scripture after scripture to show that it's in the Bible, so it must be the truth, some truth to it. And the core scripture we're going to look at in a minute is Philippians chapter 4. We'll start with that and just kind of launch off from there. And so we'll review that in a second. But we talked about last time about how this truth is not learned during good times. Yeah. This truth is not learned during good times. And we all like good times. How many like good times? Yeah. That's where I want to stay, in the good times. But this truth is not learned in the good times, but in the bad. It says in the Bible, "In the times of trouble you shall hide me in your pavilion." Yeah. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Withstand him in the evil day. Amen. And so forth. When the mountain's looming over us, that's when this truth, the truth of this message, is learned. What's that? That's okay. Sounded good, whatever it was. Oh, yeah, we're going to that one for sure. We're going to look at that scripture because that tells the message. And now, I'm not advocating that I want to live a life full of problems. How many people want to live a life full of problems? No hands? What? Okay. But you know, Paul did say, we also glory in tribulation. Never could quite get that one, and I don't know if I want to or not. He said, we glory in tribulation because tribulation works patience, and patience works experience. Experience works hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. If you can get to the place that there's hope in your heart, the God kind of hope, you're not going to fall. You're not going to stumble. But anyway, where was I? The Christian life is supposed to be a blessed life, or at least, you know, it should be. I don't like problems and situations, and I don't think anybody really likes that. But you know, there's one thing Jesus said, and we all know he said it, in this world you shall have what? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He didn't say you're not going to have them. Not might have them, but shall have them. But he's there to help us through. Amen? Amen. See, we have a Savior, a rescuer. Psalm 34:17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them all out of all of their troubles. It didn't say the righteous will not have troubles. It says God will deliver him out of them all. And the people who know me know that I don't like preaching hard times. I always preach against that. You know, don't give me any woe and gloom and doom songs to sing about how bad it is down in his world of woe. I don't want to go there. So that's not really me. So I'm teaching something that's kind of new in my thinking. You know, it says God will deliver them out of them all. Then something goes wrong. And people say, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why me, Lord? Why? And it's like John said this morning, the Lord had nothing to do with it. God gets blamed for a lot of things he has nothing to do with. And we're in that situation. The things that are common to man are going to come our way every now and then. The Bible says that you have not been tempted with anything other than those things that are common to man. But God makes a way of escape. The Bible says he'll always make a way of escape, and he always causes us to triumph in Christ. So we go in there knowing that God is always going to make a way of escape, and we're always going to come out triumphant. We can go through it a lot easier. We have a deliverer, a savior, a rescuer, one who delivers us from the snare of the fowler. So we don't need to be in despair and hopelessness when something goes wrong. Psalm 27:13, I would have fainted, or I would have despaired, except I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, we don't despair. We believe and trust. We believe to see his goodness. So that's what keeps us standing. We stay in perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The next verse says, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Some translations say, for in Yah is an everlasting rock. And some translations say, in Yah is a rock of ages. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. We're talking about hiding in God again. We're talking about taking refuge in his secret place. We're talking about, do you ever feel like you need to go hide somewhere? Something comes along, I just can't handle this. I need to go hide somewhere. We can go hide in him. That's what this message is about. That sounds like a place of stability, a place of continual strength. But look at the previous verse. What's our part in the matter? You will keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on you. And that word stayed means leaning upon, or undergirded by, or upheld by. See, there's that leaning, whose mind is leaned on you. I couldn't quite get that, but now a mind that is weak and shaky needs something to support it. It needs to be stayed on something, whose mind is stayed and leaning and reclining, even reclining in God. So that's our part of it. We are responsible for doing something with our thinking. Oh, it's going to get good here in a minute. See, that's our part. That's our responsibility. And if we will do what he tells us to do with our thinking, then he has committed himself to keep us in perfect peace. The Hebrew is shalom, shalom. Not just shalom, but shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. And he is the everlasting rock, the rock of ages. He's going to keep us in perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. Right here in this world, right here in this life. Praise God. Do I stay in perfect peace all the time? I haven't up to this point, but I think it's possible. I think it's a place that we can get to. And I like perfect peace. How about you? Do you like it? I love it. Yeah, it's so much better than turmoil and anxiety and fear and problems and all of that. I'll take it any day over the other. And what seems wonderful to me is to know that I don't have to be problem-free in this life to be in perfect peace.
That's right.
Amen. Wow. You know, I can't be in perfect peace unless everything's set in order and in perfect place. No, that's not true. I only need to know how to cast my cares upon the Lord. Amen. The ancient truth that the Bible teaches. That's shouting material right there, by the way. Amen. The only thing I need to learn to do is cast my cares on God. It'll take such a heavy load off of us if we'll just embrace it and believe it.
Amen.
It will change our lives forever. And so that's what we're going to kind of talk about. And I'm going to get us back into the message with a couple of things I talked about last time. And then some new things. Because I'm not through with this message yet. There's still more. We need to talk later about our priorities. What are our priorities? What are our values? Do they line up with God? A lot of the things we get distressed and upset about is because our priorities and our values are not in line with God's. But I'm not going to preach that today, so I'm going to just know that's a previews of coming attractions. But anyway, this part's called Careful for Nothing. The core scripture of this message, we looked at it last time, is in Philippians chapter 4. Paul has given the church at Philippi a list of recommendations and things to do that'll help them live the Christian life to the fullest. And he says in verse 4 of Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord on select occasions. Wait a minute, that's not what that said.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. It didn't say that.
On Sunday.
Rejoice in the Lord on Sunday morning and at prayer time. No, it's not what it says. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, which means rejoice, be glad, be joyful. Aren't all Christians joyful? I don't think I'll go there. You know, I've seen some walk in the room, suck all the air out of the room. You know. Boy, it was good, man, until they walked in. What's wrong? Everybody starts saying, what's wrong with them? What's the problem? You know, you can read it on people. If you haven't got joy in your heart, people can tell it. What's wrong with them? Maybe we need to pray, you know. Anyway, we're going to leave that subject for a second and go somewhere else. Philippians 4:5 says, the next verse says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, the word moderation here doesn't mean the way we've always used it. Have you ever heard the expression moderation in all things? That's not in the Bible anywhere. That's one of those old sayings. Yeah, it's not even in the King James Version. I can't. Poor Richard's, okay, right. Or the new biblical version of what's happening now, brother. It may be in that one. So anyway, I'm not really sure what that means, you know. Don't eat too much junk food, just do it in moderation. You know, don't drink and cuss too much, just be moderate about it. Don't lie and steal too much, all things in moderation. I'm not sure what that really means. As long as you just do a little of it, you're okay. But anyway, the word moderation, it means gentleness, patience, fairness, and mildness. Gentleness, patience, fairness, and mildness. Let your gentleness, your patience, your fairness and your mildness be known to all men.
Amen.
One translation says to let your sweet reasonableness, be known to all men. So then rejoice in the Lord always and always be a kind and sweet person. It's basically what that's saying. Just here's the way you walk this thing out. Sounds like good advice. And so he continues with his instruction in verse 6, and he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And the Amplified Bible says it this way, "Do not be anxious or worried about anything." Say that. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. Say it again. Do not be anxious. Do not be worried about anything. Lord, are you serious? Is that really in there? Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known unto God. It's not ambiguous, confusing, or difficult to understand what he's saying here. Don't be anxious or worried about anything, but pray about it. The understood subject is there, which is you. You don't be anxious. You don't be worried, but pray to God about it. Take it to God and take it to the Lord in prayer. I'm telling you, I can find this stuff in the open the hymn book. Now, some of that stuff in the hymn book needs to be stay there in the archives of the church. But anyway, is that even possible? Millions of Christians don't believe it is. Yet, based on the scripture, this scripture and other verses, it is possible. There's a scripture in Psalm 55, verse 22 that says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved." That's a powerful scripture right there. Never means never. He will never allow the righteous to be made to trip or to slip up. He'll never allow it. And who are the righteous? The righteous are the ones who have cast their burden upon him, because they're exercising faith, and he looks at faith as righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. So the peace of God, yeah, here, let's move to verse 7. What will happen after this? It says, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus." That verse 7, I looked up all the words in that verse. Let me give you a more descriptive rendering of it. "And the peace of God, the tranquility of the Lord, the rest, the quietness of God, which is far higher and more excellent than our mind, our intellect, and our understanding, shall guard and set up a garrison over your heart and mind." That's what God will do if we do what he tells us to do. If we do what we're supposed to do, he'll do what he promises to do. And we're talking about something supernatural here. Something that operates in a higher place. It said it's far higher and more excellent than our mind, our intellect, and understanding. Remember the scripture, "Lead me to the rock that is higher." There is a rock that's higher than we can understand in God. And he'll take us to it in times of trouble when our heart is overwhelmed. I think I've got that scripture somewhere in here. Anyway, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Why? Because I've given you my peace. It's something you didn't have before. You have a peace that the world doesn't have. Jesus must have lived a life of great peace. He must have been a peaceful fellow for him to say, "I'm giving you my peace, guys." They should have said, "Whoa, you're giving that to us?" He didn't get agitated a lot of times, you know. He stayed in perfect peace. So they knew what kind of peace he was talking about, the kind of peace that he walked in. Don't let your heart be troubled. But there's more to it. Paul continues with something else in verse 8. Let's go beyond verse 7. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," that is truthful, "whatsoever things are honest," that is of high character, honorable, "whatsoever things are just," that is approved of God in line with his righteousness, "whatsoever things are pure," pure from fault, chaste and clean, "whatsoever things are lovely," acceptable and pleasing, "whatsoever things are of good report," that is favorable, characterized by words of success, "if there be any virtue," that is any virtuous course of thought, "if there be any praise," any commendation of appreciation, "think on these things, think on these things. You see, we cannot just think about anything and live a life of peace in God. We have to be selective about what we think about.
Amen.
To live in perfect peace. But Lord, all I can think about right now is this problem I'm going through. That's all. I just can't get it off my mind. That's all I can think. I stay awake at night thinking about it. Well, there has to come a time in our pursuit of walking with God that we begin to develop and cultivate dominion over what we think about.
Amen.
Dominion over what we allow ourselves to think.
Amen.
That may sound tough right now. I just can't help thinking about this. I can't help thinking about it. But there is a dominion in Christ.
Amen.
That talks about, he says, the weapon of our weapons of warfare pull down strongholds. They cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts it, bringing into captivity every thought. The weapons of our warfare are able to bring into captivity the thoughts we don't want to think about, we don't need to be thinking about. We have the ability to choose. And so this message is a teaching on dominion over our thinking. I mean, it's not all it's what it's about, but that's part of what it's about. And so when we begin to exercise that ability, that God, Christ-given ability, to have dominion over our thoughts, we enter into God's peace. Verse 9, those things which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. Paul does a lot of talking about peace, and now he talks about the God of peace. He'll be with you. Well, isn't the God of peace always with us? Yes, he is, but maybe he's not always in manifestation. Isn't the presence of the Lord always with us? Yes, but his presence is not always manifested. The God of peace is always with us, but he's not always manifested. Paul talks some more about this in the book of Colossians, and we'll look at this very quickly in Colossians 3, verse 1, a familiar scripture. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. Now, this word affection means thinking. Set your thinking on things above, your mind, your mindedness. Set your thinking on things above, not on the earth. This has to do with taking dominion over what we think about. Things above, not below, eternal things. And in verse 15 of Colossians 3, he says, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful." So Paul is still on the subject of the peace of God. This verse says that we are called to the peace of God, and that God's peace is supposed to rule in our hearts. Not turmoil, not anxiety, not depression, not fear, but peace. The word rule here is kind of interesting. It means to be an umpire, a mediator, to guide our decisions, to help us determine things, to give us direction, to set our course in life. Let the peace of God direct you and lead you in all things. That sounds like a good thing to me for us to do. But the problem is, in order to do that, we must first be abiding in His peace. How can peace rule you if you're not in peace? Getting quiet in here, praise God, y'all. Okay, good. You cannot be led by God's peace if you're in turmoil, confusion, and distress. It's an impossible thing. See, you cannot be in fear and faith at the same time. We're going to see that again in another scripture here in just a minute. So you cannot be in fear and faith at the same time. The thrust of this message is to help us, or teach us, or let us know that we can develop our Christ-given ability to enter into the peace of God and learn how to stay there. It may appear that we're just merely learning how to not worry so much. You know, that would be good. If we could figure out a way not to worry so much, that would be good in itself, right?
Yes.
But that's not all this is about. This is about learning, or actually learning how to overcome fear in every area of our lives. That's another whole message out there about how to overcome fear in your lives. Fear is the biggest thing that we have to stand against in this life, in this world. It was the first thing Adam experienced when he fell from grace. Why were you hiding? I was scared because I didn't have any clothes on. That was the first thing he had never experienced fear before. The Bible says that people all their lifetime were subject to bondage because of the fear of death. And so anyway, not to go off into that message too much, but this is a message about overcoming fear. Learning to dispel and remove all fear from us.
Ryan.
Yes.
There are two things that hold us back from drawing near, and they're both pride and fear.
Right.
Both pride and fear. It's an old song, one of the first songs I had. First album I did.
That's good. This mic's not too loud. It seems like it's starting to feed back a little bit. I can move closer if I need to. But fear, yeah. Yeah, Vincent said something, pride and fear. You know, there's another scripture we looked at last time that said, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on him, for he careth for you. How do you humble yourself? By casting your cares to him. See, we're in a place of non-humility, a place of pride, when we're trying to deal with these things in our own strength. But that's where we talked about surrendering to God. So, what could God do? What could the Lord do with a person who had no fear? Just think about it for a second. What could God do in your life if you had no fear? What would you do yourself if you had no fear? If there wasn't so, oh, I'm scared to do that. I don't think I'll do that. It is a good question. What would you do in your life if you had no fear? What could God do with you if you had no fear? How many people can you witness to every day if you had no fear?
As many as are available.
That's exactly right. So anyway, learning how to deal with fear and to remove it from our lives is a good thing, because it's the most powerful weapon the enemy has in his arsenal to use against us to get us out of faith and under his control. He goes about roaring like a lion. Walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to roar and scare us.
Amen.
With whatever he brings our way. Okay, so we're talking about removing every trace of fear from our lives. What did Paul say? Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds, will stay in perfect peace. We roll our cares over to him in prayer. We let anxiety go. We let God's peace come in. And the hardest thing is letting go of worry. How many like to worry? Maybe I don't need a show of hands here on that one. You know, the hardest thing is letting go of worry. Because, you know, we're afraid if we let go, something might happen. If I'd been worrying, I could have maybe cut that off at the pass. Because we've been raised to think that a person who doesn't worry is a person who just is too ignorant to know what's going on, or they just don't care. I mean, that's the way it is. Either they don't know what's going on, or they just don't care. Too stupid to understand what's going on. Don't know. Don't care. But see, they actually thought that about Jesus, too.
Yep.
Let's take a quick trip over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and I entitled this section, Jesus is in the Boat. Mark chapter 4, verse 36 says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, that is Jesus, even as he was in the ship, and there were also other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And I was reading that, and it just jumped out at me. It was now full. Never saw that before. The ship was now full. It was filled up with water. I think it's interesting to note that it was full of water, but it wasn't sinking.